And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. Join us tonight at 7 for this year's League of Women Voters of Juneau Candidate Forum. Juneau's ballots are in the mail, so get to know the 3 candidates for Juneau Assembly and 2 candidates for Juneau School Board before you cast your vote. The forum is a joint effort from the Juneau League of Women Voters, KTOO, KINY, and the Juneau Empire. Tune in to KTOO 104.3 or 91.7, or watch the program at ktoo.org or on Facebook Live. Alaska health officials say that a Juneau woman in her 70s has died of COVID-19. It's not clear when she died. The state reported a total of 25 new deaths among residents. These occurred from January through August of this year. Over the course of the pandemic, 23 Juneau residents have died from COVID-19. The state reported 67 cases of COVID-19 in Juneau from the last week among residents and visitors to town, an increase over the previous week. That doesn't include positive results from home tests. There were almost 1,500 cases reported across the state. That includes more than 500 non-resident cases. More than half of those were identified on vessels at sea related to tourism. Statewide, 66 people with COVID-19 are in the hospital, and none are on ventilators. COVID-19 vaccinations are available for anyone 6 months old or older. And updated boosters designed to protect against Omicron variants and the original strain of COVID-19 are now available. Anyone 12 and older is eligible if they haven't received a dose of any COVID vaccine in the past 2 months. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. Ballots for Juneau's local election are in the mail. Next week, city officials will start tallying votes at its new ballot processing center. Juneau City Clerk gave tours of the facility this week. In 2020, Juneau's first by-mail election had a record turnout. 40% of registered voters returned their ballots. The city decided then that it would be worth opening its own ballot processing center. But while they waited for 2 years for the space and equipment, Juneau's city clerk had to fly to Anchorage with all the city's ballots to use the vote counting equipment there. Now, just in time for the local election on October 4th, Juneau has its own facility.
You know, it's all being done in-house versus having to have our staff travel up there and the expense of sending it and everything, so it makes it a little easier just to do it here.
That's Jessica DiBartolo, who works for the clerk's office. The facility is just off Thane Road near the rock dump. City Clerk Beth McEwen leads the tour.
I'll do the airplane thing that they were telling me at the last time. Security cameras here, security cameras here, security cameras there.
There are security cameras trained on everything in the room. In the waiting room, a screen shows all the feeds. Every part of the process is recorded, from envelope opening to counting the vote, so that the public can watch.
So anybody who is coming to observe the process, if they're sitting out here, they can watch the security cameras and what all the election workers are doing inside.
It's like having poll workers there monitoring the action.
We're going to be having a really big screen TV so that anyone sitting out in our entry area here can actually see that adjudication taking place in real time.
Adjudication is when there's an issue with a ballot that needs human eyes. Like if someone fills in 2 bubbles and crosses 1 out. That's a valid way to vote, but the machine can't read it. Ballots can be mailed as long as they are postmarked by Election Day. They can also be returned anytime to the drop boxes at the Douglas Library and Stater Harbor. Starting Monday, ballots can be delivered in person during business hours to the vote centers at City Hall and the Mendenhall Valley Public Library. Once the ballot processing starts, anyone interested in observing can contact the city clerk's office. And the city of Angoon welcomed 2 new village public safety officers, or VPSOs, last week. And while many rural communities in Alaska don't have any law enforcement presence, Angoon's success in recruiting 2 officers could be a first for the region. Officers John and Emily Jordan are a married couple. KCAW's Tosh Kimmel reports.
The Jordans introduced themselves to the community during an Angoon City Council meeting on September 9th.
My name is John Jordan. Originally, I am from Eastern Washington State. They're doing ski patrol, so EMS, before moved up to Alaska late last fall. And I've been the VPSO in Pelican for about 6 months now.
I'm Emily Jordan, and I've been a VPSO working with Lincoln Haida for about 2 years, 2 months. I'm an EMT2 and have 16 years plus of EMS experience.
The Jordans will be the first married couple ever hired to the position by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Jason Wilson, head of public safety for Tlingit and Haida, said he was initially reluctant to hire the couple, but feels certain they'll be an asset.
I'll be honest, and they know my apprehensions at first, and when we started talking, it was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But Trooper World has had married couples work same shifts and side by side together for many years, and they've had very little to no issues. So I have a lot of faith in these two.
Wilson also mentioned how hard it's been to hire and retain VPSOs throughout Southeast. He said he hopes hiring two at once will help with retention and plans on eventually introducing a third to the community.
Our goal always with our VPSOs is to get them to stay into our communities as long as possible. We've gone through Rangoon and all of my communities, and having one VPSO carry the responsibilities, that's a heavy load, 24/7, no days off. That's a lot. And that's how we lose people. So we got two.
Attendees and council members seem pleased and excited for the arrival of the Jordans. Former mayor and community member Pauline Jim suggested their first task be keeping an eye out for speeding cars.
The biggest thing I'd like to see you focus on is we have cars that speed around.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Tosh Kimmel.
The Canadian company working to develop a rare earth mineral refining complex in southern Southeast Alaska announced Tuesday that it's pushing back its target opening date to late 2024. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, that hinges on finding a building in Ketchikan to house the plant.
Ucor was aiming to have a facility dedicated to processing rare earth minerals built in Ketchikan by the end of next year. That was what it called its Alaska 2023 plan. But Ucor's chief operating officer, Mike Schreider, shared information at the annual meeting of the Economic Development Group Southeast Conference that pointed toward a different timeline, one that pushes the opening of the facility to the tail end of 2024. In a phone call the following morning, Schreider said the 2023 plan was more of a symbolic goal.
What our purpose of establishing the 2023 plan was to essentially plant a stake in the ground saying this is a project that we're committed to and are going to make happen. It's just that the timeline now is, you know, is stretching out a little bit for outside reasons.
And with little visible progress towards building a facility in Ketchikan from scratch, Schreider said Ucor is now aiming to house its plant in an existing building in the Ketchikan area. He didn't say where the facility might be or whether the company has any particular building in mind.
Our plan right now is that we have to, because of the 2024 target date now with our customers, we need to move into an existing facility, which is called a brownfield facility. And that's the only way that we can achieve our schedule.
Ucor chose Ketchikan as the plant's home because of its proximity to Seattle and Prince Rupert and because there's an existing workforce. It's also close to Prince of Wales Island, where the Bokan-Dotson prospect is located. Ucor hopes to build a mine on the site upstream of Kendrick Bay and send ore for processing in Ketchikan. He also said the company has secured three preliminary agreements that would supply feedstock to the processing plant. He told KRBD that Ucor couldn't announce the names of two of the entities, but one was with Vital Metals, another Canadian company that focuses on rare earth mineral production. The company started mining rare earth ore from a site in Canada's Northwest Territories last year. The proposed processing plant in Ketchikan would use a proprietary extraction technology Ucor is calling Rapid SX. Ucor CEO Pat Ryan also spoke via Zoom at the Southeast Conference on Tuesday. He touted the company's solvent extraction technique as faster and cheaper than existing mineral separation techniques like those used in China.
And we're saying, let's westernize it. Let's do it that much better. When you have the right tech, you can approach the problem very carefully with better throughput, better capital expenditures.
And as for the mine itself, Schreider says work is ongoing.
This summer, we were in Ketchikan and Prince of Wales for some mineral resource upgrade work at the resource site.
That's preliminary mining work aimed at figuring out how many tons of rare earth minerals actually exist at the remote site on southern Prince of Wales Island. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
And here in Juneau, it's currently 54 degrees. Tonight, more rain is expected, and it could be heavy at times, with east winds around 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, there's a 40% chance of rain, and as of now, the weekend is looking clear. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. It's nearly 5 o'clock.